Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, or saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, such as same viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online. This is the 21st lecture on Genesis. Last time, we talked about some of the beings in the world of evil spirits, Lucifer, the dragons and his servant, and Satan. In this lecture, I'm going to talk about the fallen angels that were released from the beast and about the demons. I said that a third of the angels joined the Lucifer rebellion, but they failed. And then as Lucifer was released for the purpose of human cultivation, some of the fallen angels also were released. These angels that were released fall into the two categories according to their roles. One is the devil and the other angel of death in the lower grave. Let me briefly explain the hellhounds first. The role of the hellhounds is to drag the unsaved souls to the underworld and inflict the punishment upon them. For souls destined for salvation, two angels dressed in the white await, while two angels of death clad in the black stands are ready for those who died without the salvation. Just by looking at their countenance, one can immediately discern the salvation that has been bestowed upon their soul. The sight of the angels brings him comfort and joy, knowing that he is gonna to go to heaven of the eternal peace and happiness. With a serene experience, he gently closed his eyes and peacefully passed away. Unsaved souls opened eyes with their eyes and the mouth open, contorted in fear as they witnessed the terrifying angel of death that awaited them. In contrast, saved souls open pass away peacefully as if gently falling asleep, their faces serene and devoid of fear or pain. In a movie, a hellhound or angel of death usually puts on a black dress with a dark blue colored makeup on. Yes, they indeed they look exactly like that. The rear hellhounds look much more horrible, but the actor or actresses resemble the rear ones quite a bit. The angels of the death or hellhounds have completely lost their original angelic appearance, once symbols of beauty and grace. Overall, they are shrouded in aura of darkness, their appearance so chilling that it sends the shivers down the spine. In some cases, shortly before death, the eye of the unsaved may open the spiritual world and they are terrified by the angels of death, they see. The hellhounds attacked with carrying out the punishment are even more terrifying in appearance. They give out the strong energy of a devil and torture those unsaved souls with various tools. The hellhounds are mere vessels for Lucifer's will. Their actions and words are directly reflection of her thought and desire. Now, let me tell you about the role of the devil. Simply speaking, the role of the devil is exactly opposite to that of the angels. For example, there are angels that keep and protect the saved children of God. These angels help their masters accomplish the truth, and they rejoice together when their masters succeed. The devil delights in the tempting people to sin, taking great pleasure in their downfall and the corruption of souls. God sends one angel to each person who is saved and whose name is written in the book of the life to serve them. So these angels constantly knock on your hearts, urging you to live according to the word of the truth. However, you cannot hear this voice while you are in the flesh. Those who have entered into the spirit can still hear the voice. It doesn't mean that like, oh, an angel is speaking to me, but their hearts are influenced by their voice. They think, oh, I must live according to the truth. This is false, and their hearts are moved and this way, thinking, this is the truth. However, when you dwell in the flesh, you cannot hear the voice of an angel. No matter how much you help you, the angel teaches you the truth and the good and the advice you master. You should not do that, but you cannot hear that voice at all. And you hear the voice of the dark forces of Satan or the devil. Devils do not work only on unbelievers, but also on believers. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 says, be of a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. In Africa, don't lions roam around looking for food? When you think of that sight, you need to be diligent and awake. As I said, the devil prowls around seeking someone to devour. Say someone received the work of Satan and his simple attribute stirred in his heart, and the devil spotted him. Then the devil doesn't lose this chance but incites this man all the more. Satan planted a force of thought in the people's mind, and the demons incite them to act. That's why the Bible says that the one who committed sins belongs to the devil. When you commit a sin, you become a slave to sin, and you are said to have been deceived by the devil. 1 John chapter 3, 8 says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. If you cannot live in the truth but live in a falsehood and commit sin, you should know that you have been deceived by the devil. If you personally say to someone who committed sin, hey, you've been deceived by the devil, they will get angry, right? It is God's word. It's true. And it's because they have been deceived by the devil that they've committed sin. One who committed sin belongs to the devil, for the devil has been a singing from the beginning. The devil entices people to commit sin, and the devil causes people to suffer. Surely, the devil makes them commit sin, and because they sin, it brings them trials and the tribulation according to the price of their sin. However, it doesn't mean that the devil directly enters the people and does the work. First, Satan plants the seed of the false thought in people's mind, and then those who accept those thoughts have a desire to act on them. For example, someone calls you a bad name. If you have a truth in your heart more than untruth, you will receive the work of the Holy Spirit and look back on yourself. You might initially question if you did something wrong that triggered his outburst. Even if you did nothing wrong, as you're the man of truth, you will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will remind you that the Lord told you to love even your enemies. You should not hate him. You shouldn't have ill feeling against him. There must be reason for him to do so. Understand him more and love him more. In this way, the Holy Spirit gives you a voice helping you think in the truth and act by the truth. As you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you will receive more strength and practice the truth. On the other hand, if you have untruth more than a truth, it's easier for you to be influenced by the Satan. The evil nature in your heart combines with the work of the darkness that Satan has spread, and that they become a thought of the flesh. It's crucial to have a firm grasp of this principle. You must be mindful of the thought that evokes fallacious belief. And the moment when the negative thought arises that contradict the light and the truth, you should recognize that these instances as the devil's promptings that I should consider it wake-up call. You must also be aware of that Satan is currently at work within us. Exploding our sinful nature and carnal thoughts. The Word of God declares that the thought of the flesh hustles to God. Therefore, we must abandon this fleshly thought. The presence of the fleshly thought hinders our obedience of God's Word, making us enemies of God and incapable of pleasing Him. Your heart without any evil nature or untruth and avoid Satan's direct influence. It is crucial to recognize that Satan's insidious tactics involve the planting seeds of untruth within our fleshly thought. Why does he call me a bad name? Who does he think is calling me a bad name? This kind of a thought of a flesh arises. Once the passageway of the thought open like this, soon ill feeling in your hearts are provoked. Bad feeling, uneasy feelings, hatred, and so on come to roar and pitch in your heart. The abundance, absence of the resentment, bitterness, hatred, and other malicious elements within our hearts shield us from Satan's direct influence. However, the presence of these elements within our hearts make us susceptible to offense, distress, and hurt when others insult us. It's crucial to recognize in such instances we are under Satan's influence. If you dismiss such a phenomena as a mere personal feelings, it shows a lack of the understanding of the spiritual world. Therefore, through this sermon, you are learning about the spiritual world. Remember that the spiritual world governs the physical world, and those in the realm of the light are under the domination of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you are experiencing this work of Satan or the devil, the rule of darkness, because your heart or mind belongs to darkness. This is true even if you praise and pray, proclaim the God's word, believe in Jesus as your Savior. No matter how much you confess these things with your lips, if your actions do not align with your faith, you will continue to experience the works of the Satan and the devil. Once the work of the untruth takes place in your heart like this, the time is right to receive the work of the devil. And the untruth of your heart is about to be revealed. The evil darkness and untruth within you are now being revealed outwardly. This phenomenon is a result of the devil's work. His face turned red with anger when he saw his insulter. His face hardened into a mask of eyes as he spoke. The more evil resides in one's heart, the more outwardly visible the works are guided by the devil becomes in their action. The changes is not limited to facial expression. It escalated to verbal insults or physical blows. In this way, the role of Satan and the devils are distinct. Therefore, the Bible sometimes attributes Judas' actions to Satan and other times to the devil. As you read the Bible, you will find that sometimes it is recorded as the work of Satan and other times as the work of a devil. I hope that you will discern them. Judas' betrayal of Jesus, his own teacher, and the sinless one is an act of the evil that is utterly beyond the comprehension. While such an act of the evil is difficult to fathom, history reveals numerous similar instances. In this increasingly sin-laden times, such instances are become increasing commonplace. Judas Iscariot, despite the contemplating the evil deed and the wavering at the moment of the decision, fell under Satan's influence and ultimately made the faithful choice to betray Jesus. By opening up the pathway of your thought to Satan and continually accepting his influence, Satan's power will eventually reach your heart. This state is precisely what was described as a Satan entering. The scene of the Satan entering Ananias and Sapphira appears in the Bible. Then the devil takes over the next step. The devil makes him commit act of the untruth. Once Satan has entered you, and the devil will work in this way, leading you to practice of the untruth. Luke chapter 22, 34 says, "And Satan entered into the Judas, who was called Iscariot, belongs into the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and offers how he might betray him to them." As Satan has entered Judas, now is the moment to put his deeds into action. Jesus knew Judas Iscariot would do like this from the beginning. And so Jesus said in John chapter 6, 70, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12? Jesus chose the 12. And he said that in John 6, 70, "Did I choose the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." It was not the time Jesus said like this when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, but he foretold it, knowing its consequences already. When people receive the work of the devil, the untruth in their hearts comes out in an action. That is, they do the deeds of the flesh, which is the sin they may commit in action. When a person is influenced by the devil's work, they will end up acting according to sin nature in their hearts and eventually commit the deeds of the flesh. It's a serious matter for the believer to commit deeds of the flesh because it's a work of the Satan and ultimately the work of the devil. Referring to those who receive the work of the devil, 1 John 3:10 calls them the children of the devil. The same is true today. They are clearly Christians attending the church, singing praise songs, praying, and doing God's work. Yet the Bible says that those who do the devil's work, commit sins, are children of the devil. As a children of God, living the light with the sea of the life within us, we cannot commit sin. Therefore, claiming to believe in God while still committing the sin is a lie. You become a liar. And the Revelation also condemns such a behavior as a liar. What is the evidence of our love and the faith in God? It's living in obedience to His commandments. However, if you continue to disobey His commandments, commit sins, and live according to the flesh, you are a child of the devil. Chances are that some people, when they receive the work of the devil, commit horrible crimes that human beings should never do. There are heinous crimes that cannot be tolerated by the moral standards, not to mention the standard of the faith. When people are completely captivated by the devil, they commit sin. Such evil acts are called the acts of the devil. If these acts of the devil go beyond a certain limit, demons enter into the individual. There are other cases too when demons enter into the people. Now, let me talk about demons from this point on. You've learned about Satan last time, and today about the work of the devils. You got it? Now, let me tell you about demons. Demons belong to evil spirits. Unlike fallen angels, however, they are not spiritual beings that were created before the creation. Again, demons are not spiritual beings, while Lucifer, evil spirits, Satan, and the servant of the dragons are spiritual beings. Demons are not dark angels. They are not spiritual beings that were created before the creation. Demons were originally human beings that were created from the dust like we were. Some of the souls who died without salvation appear in the world as ghosts under special conditions. Once the unsaved souls die, they are first dragged to the waiting place in the lower grave. Among them, some souls that meet some conditions become demons. Demons are the lowest ranks in the world of evil spirits, and they act as a devil's henchmen. Of course, the devil controls the demons. A devil controls the demons according to the will of Lucifer. Then what kind of souls become demons? First, when they sell their souls over to Satan, they may become demons. They dare to make the deal with Satan. With a greed for wealth and authority, some people sell their souls to evil spirits in order to receive the help of the evil spirits' power. For example, some artists worship Satan in order to get some inspiration. If you see a historical movie, some powerful figures who practice sorcery using their souls as a security in order to destroy their opposite figures. You might see the scene that a powerful man engaged in the dark rituals to maintain his grip on power. When such a people die, they can become demons. It's because they played like subordinates of Satan even when they were alive. However, not all of them become demons. According to the standard of the spiritual world, they may become demons or they may not. Second case is when they commit suicide in their life. When unsaved souls die, they all go to the waiting place in the lower grave. Among such souls, those who commit suicide in their life become demons and come out to the earth again. Judas Iscariot is this exception. Even though he committed suicide, he received the first level unceasing punishment standing up in front of all sinners. He became an exemplary case to show what punishment of death the wage of sin is like. There are many different types of suicide. There are cases where people take their own lives for their country or for Jesus Christ, not as a martyr, but as a sacrifice for their nation. There are also cases where people have no choice but to die for a noble cause. These cases are different from the selling one's soul to devils. However, suicide that do not fall under these categories are considered as be a condition for becoming demons after death. The third case to become a demon is when souls lose faith even though they met God and walked the way of faith. For example, there are people who seriously complain and stand against God when they undergo trials, such as when their children die. Or there are people who become enticed by the world and completely fall into the flesh even after they live a believing life. There have been those who have undoubtedly experienced God's work and received the Holy Spirit, yet have fallen to the temptation of the world. Such individuals may even be found among your neighbors or close believers or even family members. Hebrews chapter 6:6 says such a people are those who again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. Those who have fallen away in this manner have, in a sense, re-crucified the Son of God. Consequently, they are barred from salvation, unable to receive the spirit of the repentance, and thus remain sick or in troubles. They commit the sin willfully, knowing full well that they are doing commit sin. However, they are re-crucifying the Lord by doing that. How could they turn back from the way? They should be fully humbled before God and repented completely. They should cast off their sinful nature and resolve never to commit sin again. Their lives should be dedicated to goodness and the truth with the unwavering struggling against sin. Only through such action can they receive the forgiveness. Without such deeds, forgiveness is indeed difficult to attain. If they again crucify the Lord who saved them, it is such a grave sin. When such a people die, some of them become demons. The first case is when souls stand and blaspheme against the Holy Spirit even though he knew the truth. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 12:32, whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. It means that the sin of speaking and the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is such a grave sin. When such a people die, they may become demons. Now, what is the spiritual environment like that demons are put into? Their spiritual environment is actually more painful than the lower grave. Basically, there's the pain that results from the difference of the spaces. Say man is created to live on the earth. However, man can live under the water inside a submarine or in air inside an airplane, but the best place is the ground on the earth. Likewise, the spiritual beings feel most comfortable when they are in a spiritual place. Therefore, demons feel much better when they stay in the lower grave, which is the spiritual space, than on the earth, a fleshly space. That's why difficult is for demons to be on earth. Moreover, when demons stay in the world, how they feel can be described as a follow. They feel like standing alone in the wilderness where snowstorms or sandstorm blasts. They feel an instantly severe loneliness and pain. Just imagine it. If you have ever lived in the countryside, you may have experienced the beating snowstorms that sweep through the rural area in the winter. Similarly, sandstorms can race across the desert and the vast expanse of the open plains. Standing alone in the midst of the vast wilderness where snowstorms or sandstorms raise and churn, one is overwhelmed by a profound sense of the loneliness and the anguish. If a man is put into an environment, he will definitely desperately look for a place to avoid the extreme conditions. A brief moment of a difficulty is manageable, but facing it for a month would be incredibly tough. It's the same with the demons. The best place for the demons is to stay in its body of a human being. That's why once they enter into the body of a man, they will try to never leave. However, demons cannot enter into just anyone. They can do it only when a spiritual condition is met. Then which person can demons enter into? I already told you about the case when I explained about the acts of a devil earlier. First, as the level of the devil acts of someone goes beyond a certain limit, demons can enter into him. There are people whose heart is stained by the sin too much to have a guilty conscience. With a conscience that is like a villain, one cannot even begin to seek out goodness. Since they are completely become a slave to the devil can control demons that enter into them. Second is when people have a spiritual problem in their family due to their ancestor or parents. If a family accumulated a generation of a wicked acts like idol worship, exceeding the bounds of the God's mercy, they may become susceptible to the influence of the evil spirits. Depending on the level of their evil, Lucifer decides whether disease come upon them or demons enter into them. Chances are that both of them can come upon the person. For example, in chapter 9 of the Gospel of Mark, we find the story of the son who was possessed with a demon which made him the mute and the deaf. Also, in Luke chapter 30:11 appears a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. While the mute, the deaf are sometimes influenced by the demons. All of them are not under the demons' influence. Also, the Bible says the woman afflicted by the demonic possessions for 18 years, her body contorted and unable to straighten. While some people lose their ability to speak in the ear due to the accident or illness, there are also cases where it's caused by the demons. While hearing loss can occur due to the physical damage or other medical conditions, it's important to recognize that demonic possessions can also manifest as a deafness, blindness, and muteness. Third case is that as demons being able to enter into the heaven, even believers, some may continually seek spiritual gifts and the power without circumcising their hearts. They do so because they are arrogant and they want to be lifted and so flaunting them themselves. If they seek with such a heart, God cannot give what they want. However, if they still continue to seek from their greed, Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. If they say amen without realizing as Satan, that is giver, demons can enter into them. It happens they themselves are not able to realize it in the beginning. In certain cases, a demon can enter a person that allows the demon to do is saying amen, or he wants the demon to come in himself, but there's no any symptom for the first time. Even though the voice from the inside them is the voice of a demon, they are confused to think it is voice of the Holy Spirit. It's because the demons use the word of God, such as preach the gospel or be faithful. Even demons use the God's word, pray. So what this means that he mistakenly believes that what he received through the amen was given by God. In other words, not to reveal the true identity. They worked craftily in the beginning. However, they eventually reveal their identities. Demons make them to do things that cannot make sense, even the things that are beyond the scope of the truth. It's too late to realize what is happening. Dear brothers and sisters, how can you save those who are demon-possessed? In other words, how can you drive out the demons? First, when a demon-possessed man comes into his senses even for a moment, you have to help him realize his fault and repent of it. You should find the cause that allow for the demons to come into him and get rid of the cause. Not only this family, but also brothers and sisters in the Lord should pray for him and seek his salvation and the love on behalf of him. When in the presence of the person possessed by demons, the blood hymns should be sung rather than the hymns of a heavenward grace. Because the Satan, devils, and the demons fear the Lord's blood hymn, and for their knows the power of the Lord's blood. After you prepare like this, when a man with a spiritual power prays, the demons will go out. When you drive out the demons, you should contact the eyes of the demon-possessed man and command like this. In the name of the Jesus Christ, I command you, dirty demons, go out. Lose the binding of the hell and go away. When defeating the demon, the Lord called the demons, you unclean spirit. Demons hate it when people curse at them and are offended. If you curse harshly at the demon, it may not want it to hear it and will leave, but it will soon return. Christian cannot swear anything worse than the word unclean spirit. So it can be said that unclean spirit is an appropriate word for casting out of demons. The more sanctified and the fuller of the Holy Spirit, the stronger the spiritual light from the eyes. Since demons are also spiritual beings, as they see the light, they tremble in fear and they are overpowered. Spiritual light always overcomes the light of the darkness. The forces of darkness do not fear you just because you are a pastor or a deacon, but the light that you emit offers as you enter the spirit, and the more sanctified you are, the more they fear you. No matter how vicious the demon is, it's quiet and afraid in front of the spiritual people. They just tremble in the fear. However, they don't fear before people who are not holy or not spiritual. They fear and tremble before the people or even kids who are holy and fill their hearts with goodness. It is nothing else but to obey when a holy man commands them with a spiritual power. By the way, when you drive away demons, you should command them to go to the water or fire. Spiritually, water is the word of God, and the fire is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Demons roam where there is no word of God. That's it, where there is no truth, goodness, or love. And also, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, 43, now, when the unclean spirits go out of the man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Where there is a water, in other words, where there is a word of God active and working, demons cannot work. In addition, when the fire of the Holy Spirit touches demons, they lose their power, the authority of the darkness. Therefore, when you drive out the demons, you should command them to go to either water or fire. When commanded by the spiritual authority, they have no choice but to obey, and the demons lose their powers by entering the fire and the water. And after demons left a certain man, you should help him fill his heart with the word of God. The work of casting out the demons by the spiritually empowered worker is not the end in itself. It's crucial for him to diligently learn the word of the truth and nurture the growth of a faith. I said that since the environment where demons stay in the very poor, they try to enter into the man, Therefore, after demons are driven out, what is the place that they can think of first? From the perspective of demons, it's like being kicked out and wandering around without anyone to welcome back. It's like being alone in the midst of a blizzard under harsh conditions with no shelter in the sight. Desperate to find a place of a solace, it roams aimlessly but no available. Eventually, it tried to go back to the place it was driven from. It's a man the demons were driven out of form, hoping for a chance to re-enter his body. They came back to him. Once they find that there's no water, the truth in his heart, they don't lose the chance they may enter into him again. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, 44 to 45, then says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then its ghost takes along with seven other spirits more wicked and then self, and they go and live there, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. Therefore, the one who was once possessed by the demon should make a bread of the word of God and try to be sanctified more fervently. Up until tonight, I've briefly explained to you about the spiritual beings. I spent a total of 10 lectures to explain the war of the angels and the cherubim that God created and the war of the evil spirits with Lucifer as its head. For human cultivation, God divided spiritual spaces and created the spiritual beings. To obtain the true children, God the Father endures Lucifer's rebellions and even allow her the creation of the world of the evil spirits. If we compare the human cultivation to competition, there are opponents to compete with the rules to follow. We now need a stage where the actual games can take place. The stage for the human cultivation is the earth where the mankind live in the solar system to which the earth belongs. From the next lecture, I will begin the explanation about the works of the creation. Panoramic stories of the creation will be unfolded before you. I urge you to make a bread of this message every week. There will be great difference between those who make the bread from this message and those who don't. If you arm yourself with the Word of God, your spirits and the soul will prosper, and you will surely receive the blessing of all. May you wisely save your time in the right on the flow of a spiritual well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.